Hey, everybody, and you are listening to the WWE Podcast. We're going to get everything rolling in just a minute with Mary Grader as we discuss all of the topics, major topics that happened this week, including Goldberg versus The Fiend taking place at Super Showdown. We also discuss Ricochet facing Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, Becky and Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship Part 3, also Randy Orton and Edge. If we love the program, what we think of it, what this could lead to, all the way to WrestleMania. And we discuss Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, all but confirmed for WrestleMania as well. And at the very end of the show, we even dive into the rumors that have been circulating about Undertaker versus Sting at this year's WrestleMania. So you're not going to want to miss this show. We're going to take a quick break for the sponsor, and then we're going to get right into the show with Mary. I think you guys are going to enjoy this one, so stay right here. So you guys remember Minecraft, right? Well, there's a website that you can go check out, and it's a friendly Minecraft community. It's at superfuntime.org. That's superfuntime.org. You can also go to the Minecraft server IP at play.superfuntime.org. So on this website, guys, it's not just a community. You can also check out their link on Discord. It's right on the main page. And you can also converse with all other users and players through a forum that is directly on the site. So, guys, I really recommend, if you're a big fan of Minecraft, head on over to superfuntime.org.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. On this Sunday, February 9th, 2020. Awesome show for you guys, because my co-host Mary is back. And we discuss a lot of stuff. And we get into the rabbit hole with some things and rant on a couple of things that I think you guys may share in or completely disagree. We cover Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns and Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, and that non-answer, as we don't still have that match as official yet, Becky and Asuka, and Orton and Edge, and Undertaker Sting, if that's going to happen, Brock Lesnar and Ricochet, right, for the WWE Championship. So we cover a lot of different stuff, and it's a really fun conversation, very energetic for a Sunday night. And I know many of you are probably listening to this on Monday or even later in the week, and we appreciate you listening. I know many of you are listening on delay and listening at on demand, as that's kind of the best way to do it, right? There's no other way to do it other than listening to things when you want to listen to them. So guys, this is a really fun show with Mary, and don't forget, the schedule for this week is, well, it's just back to business as usual, because your Raw review comes to you on Tuesday, Wednesday is Nostalgia, Thursday is NXT and AEW, Friday is one of the other two. I try to stagger those two shows so that one drops one day, one drops the next. And then Saturday is back to our co-hosts discussing everything that happened in this week in WWE. And Aiden Willis is also going to be providing us with a podcast coming out tomorrow. So this is going to be a podcast that delivers to you guys every single day. And it's not always going to be my voice, but as I always say, that's a good thing. So we got a lot to discuss today with Mary. And before you guys do, just a quick reminder, we are trying our damnedest to get into the top 10 of the wrestling podcast on Apple Podcasts. So if you would like to help out the show, the best way to do it is give us a positive rating and review on Apple. And hey, that's it. Takes about 20 seconds to do, and we'd much appreciate your assistance. And also subscribe anywhere that you have a podcast. If you don't have an Apple or an iPhone, well, no problem. We are on every podcast that you can probably think of, every podcast app. So check us out really anywhere. But All right, guys. Well, that's pretty much it. Going to keep the plugs to a minimum today because it's all about WWE and their current product as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania with a couple of stops in between. Right now, let's get to Mary. Let's get to myself and our discussion about WWE this week. Welcome to your Sunday edition of the WWE podcast. We have Mary Greeter with us here this week, and we're going to be covering everything that happened this week on SmackDown, Raw, and anything else that's in between, including rumors floating around that just will not die year to year to year to year of The Undertaker versus Sting happening at WrestleMania this year. That seems to be heating up, so I want to get Mary's take on that as well. So welcome back to the show, Mary.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Feeling a little bit under the weather, as we talked a little bit before. I went out and had a little celebration for my pre-birthday, so I'll get through the show. You know, I think I'll be able to plow through, and hopefully you guys don't notice it. If I didn't say anything, you may have not have noticed that I'm not feeling great. But how about you, Mary? You feeling all right today?
I'm a little tired. I had a night out too. Not hungover or anything like that for once, which is a miracle in itself. I'm just extremely tired and I need a nap, and I should have done a whole bunch of studying today, but I opted to just binge watch TV when I got home from work. So it's basically been my day, but, happy birthday, even though it's not yet.
We're hitting
the big 3-5.
Yeah, I know. It's, I thought hitting 25 was a big deal, and now here's 35. I mean, I'm halfway to 70, right? Like, holy crap. I'm be 35 this week, and people always ask, do you feel your age? You know, or you ask people that, and I don't know. Like, there are some times I do. After last night, I certainly do, but most of the time, I mean, I feel like I'm still in my late 20s. I guess mentally, I'm still in my 20s. I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess men, what do they always say, that men kind of evolve slower than women, and or the maturity rate is extremely slow or whatever. So I would attest to that, you know, so. All right, well, let's get into wrestling, right? Let's get into this. And, you know, off the top, I got to ask you, Mary, because we briefly discussed this, but I'm very interested to hear about your thoughts on, I guess, the biggest news ticket of the week, which is Goldberg announcing his return to face The Fiend at Super Showdown. And I know that you do somewhat kind of remove yourself from these shows, but I guess from the perspective of, we've never seen this before. Goldberg is a huge name. He's not coming off the greatest match of his career, but it is The Fiend versus Goldberg. It certainly is interesting on paper. What do you think about the whole thing?
It's interesting on paper. I don't really have an opinion about it. Like you said, I kind of, as soon as they start pressing these Super Showdown stuff, Saudi Arabia, I kind of check out. Like, I'll watch Raw and I'll watch SmackDown, but the second I hear something that's promoted towards that, I kind of walk out of the room or I go on my phone. I mean, the last Goldberg match was a disaster, and I don't understand why they keep, like, doing this. And I guess just, you know, the Saudis love him. I mean, he's not going to beat The Fiend, and if he does, that'll be another show completely. But I don't really have an opinion about it. It looks interesting on paper, but, like, what is Goldberg going to do in the ring against, you know, Bray Wyatt? Like, is Bray Wyatt going to show up as Bray Wyatt, or is he going to show up as a Fiend? If he shows up as a Fiend and he takes him out, like, cool, great. But Goldberg does nothing for me. I don't think he's ever done anything for me. And I don't really care about the storyline. It's not going to add to WrestleMania. You know, that's what we should be focused on right now. And it's just like these Saudi matches kind of take you out of the road to WrestleMania now that, like, they're, you know, yearly occurrence and they happen a couple of times a year. So I don't know what's going to happen. Bray Wyatt's going to win. So you guys don't need to watch the pay-per-view. There you go.
Yeah, spoiler. I mean, seriously, if anyone believes that Goldberg is going to win, I mean, you don't understand wrestling. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense at all to have Goldberg win here. But I think it's interesting of how he's going to lose. I mean, it's more of that what we're looking at. And yes, we are focused at WrestleMania, which we should be. But there are two stops with Super Showdown, the beloved Super Showdown going up first, and then Elimination Chamber very soon to follow. I believe it's 2 weeks after after Super Showdown. So there is almost no time between pay-per-views here, and then we'll be off and running straight to WrestleMania. So my quick thoughts on this with Goldberg, I mean, I guess I'm slightly more interested than you. I wasn't a WCW guy. I never really understood why people are so attracted to Goldberg outside of he's muscular. Okay, he's explosive, but he's not great in the ring. He'd be the first to say that. He's kind of a one-trick pony, and he's got charisma, I guess. So when you put the nostalgic package together versus the current-day Bray Wyatt, some may say it's a dream match. I wouldn't say that, but I'll watch it because, well, I'm a wrestling fan. I mean, I understand why people protest these events with all of the terrible history of Saudi Arabia and all that, and I get it completely. So I'm interested to see, number one, how long this match lasts, and number two, how Goldberg loses. I mean, I don't have much more to say than that, and this is nothing more than just building The Fiend for Roman Reigns. I mean, who else could The Fiend possibly face at WrestleMania?
I don't know. I mean, we're still, like, when we were on the show a couple weeks ago, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's got to be Roman Reigns. I still don't know. There's still a lot of time between WrestleMania and now. You're talking about nostalgia. I don't know if, like, I wouldn't say that Goldberg's, like, the wrong kind of nostalgia. Like, we were talking about the Rumble with Santino. That's the wrong kind of nostalgia. He's obviously better than that. But it's like, I would rather see The Fiend versus The Undertaker in a rematch and, you know, Bray redeem himself and kind of get that torch pass of being, you know, the superhuman or supernatural element that is in the WWE now. But I don't know how he's, I hope it's quick. I mean, it's got to be quick. If Goldberg, like, knocks his head on the freaking locker room before he comes out, he's going to have a concussion to begin with. So, like, I just hope that Bray takes him out really quick with the mandible and it moves on. But I don't know, you know, they're in Saudi and they love these old timers. So who's to say that Goldberg isn't going to go over? I mean, I don't think it's for, is it for the title?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
Like, why? They put the title on him already. Like, there's no need for this. Like, Bray's on a hot streak. He's kind of redeeming everything bad that happened to him. So, like, you know, in a situation like this, like, you don't know if the old dude's going to go over. You don't know if they're going to have him come out in the Bray Wyatt persona and not The Fiend. I think that's more of the question at hand right now. But, again, it does absolutely nothing for me. And it's just one of those things like, okay, well, this will pass and that'll be it. And it won't add to the storyline. And hopefully The Fiend is still the champion at WrestleMania. And I still don't know who he's facing. I really don't. I know everybody's saying Roman, but, like, Roman's, like, the blow-off didn't happen at the Rumble, like you guys were saying. They're going in the cage match, which is what you guys said should have happened at the Rumble, not a last man standing. So we got the cage match coming up between him and Corbin. And this thing, it seems like it's continuing, and they're still continuing the Bloodline storyline with him and the Usos. So I don't know. I mean, is it highly likely? Yes. I still think there's a chance that it's not Roman Bray at WrestleMania. I don't know who the opponent will be at that then. But that's why there's a problem with, like, these Saudi shows, because it's like, what is this adding to? Like, it's just, like, kind of like, yeah, like, should I believe that? Like, what happens if Goldberg wins the title? Like, not that I think that's ever going to happen, but what if it does? It's just, it kind of throws off the equilibrium. Yeah, that's it. Of the whole entire, you know, what's going on right now of the storyline.
I don't even want to ponder what happens if Goldberg wins. I don't want to go that road. It would make less sense than having, well, I wouldn't say less sense, but probably as confusing as having Cain Velasquez, you know, get an automatic championship match against Brock Lesnar a few months ago. It made no sense. At least in this case, Goldberg justified him challenging for the Universal Championship because he said he never got his rematch after losing it. So at least there's that there. And, you know, you could make an argument, well, he never actually, you know, you can't just say it. You know, you have to actually go through a process to earn that spot back. You can't just say, well, I never got it, so I should get it now. But at least there is some marginal storyline for why Goldberg's challenging for the championship, and it's not just Cain Velasquez coming in out of nowhere and challenging for the top belt. And you know, also I believe it will be the Fiend versus Bray Wyatt, the Fiend versus Goldberg, because he did allude to Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse say he accepts, meaning that his alter ego, the Fiend, accepts. So I would believe it's the Fiend challenging Goldberg and not Bray Wyatt challenging Goldberg. So there is that too. I think we're spending all this time talking about the match when the match would have been over had we pressed record and then, you know, actually had the match start. Like this, the match would have been over probably a couple times over already, and we're talking more about it than the match is actually going to last. But these Saudi Arabia shows in general are kind of weird, like anomaly shows. Like it's almost as if the prince over there just has, you know, an unlimited amount of funds available to say, hey, I want this dream match and this dream match and this dream match to happen. Just make it happen, even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just feels like kids playing in a candy store with unlimited money. And there's not a whole lot of consequence to these shows. They feel like kind of a glorified UK show for Raw sometimes, where those shows sometimes don't mean a whole lot. I don't know. I understand why people protest these shows from the political standpoint and the, you know, human rights standpoint that Saudi Arabia has, but also from the perspective of these shows are just kind of there. They're a pain in the ass to deal with because you got to do them. You have a 10-year contract with these people, and let's just get through it. And whether it makes storyline sense or not, you know, these shows are, I don't know. I don't want to say they're a waste of time, but a lot of matches on the show tend to be. And my last point on this, and then I'll let you respond, is that, you know, a lot of this, when you look at the calendar of events here, you go from Rumble, you have two shows, and then Mania. I kind of expected the way that this show falls to have this be the leftovers of the Rumble. I mean, I didn't believe that you could have a whole lot of new matches, you know, thrown together in 3 weeks, and it just kind of seemed like the leftovers from Rumble, kind of putting a bow on it, tying it up, and saying goodbye to it after Super Showdown, and we'll get to the real meat of things at Elimination Chamber that sets up to Mania.
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't really know if it's necessary to have, like, the leftovers from the Rumble. Like, you should be going straight into an Elimination Chamber, you know? That should be setting up the matches that are probably, you know, this is just kind of like a detour. Like, they go off the path and then they go right back. And like you were saying with Cain Velasquez and all that stuff, like, who's to say they're not showing up at Mania? You know, Vince does weird things. Hopefully he's super focused on the XFL right now that just launched. I also feel like that's why it's kind of, like, murky or muddy right now. The last week of wrestling has just kind of been, like, almost a back burner thing, I think, because XFL was launching, which is not a bad thing. We want Vince distracted, and it's been getting praised the last 2 days. I mean, everybody's saying it's way better than it was originally, and that's good. But I don't know if it's necessarily, like, it's necessary to have, you know, the leftovers from the Rumble to, like, kind of put a bow on it and send it away. Like, the Rumble should be a finishing or a starting point. And it felt like the Rumble was solid and it didn't need any more. So it's just like they're committed to this thing, like you said, and they have to put things together. They're getting paid. And it's like, all right, well, we're going to, like, you know, kind of make this like a fallout from the Rumble, but, like, it doesn't really count towards WrestleMania. And it just comes off convoluted. I don't know. I don't care about Bray Wyatt and Goldberg. That's just the bottom line. Like I said, the Fiend's going to win, and hopefully that guy doesn't give himself a concussion within 5 minutes of, you know, the match starting.
Please. I mean, honestly, I'm more concerned about Goldberg before the match than during it, because, I mean, we all remember the I don't know when it, what program he was with or who he was with a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when he gave himself that, he bloodied himself by hitting his head on, like, a locker or something, like he said, and he's coming out, he's bleeding out of his head, and he's cutting a promo. I mean, yeah, so, I mean, I think we'll kind of wrap up that topic, because, like, I mean, we're kind of wasting our words on something that's going to be over in 3 minutes, and it's on a pay-per-view that is not viewed as positively as many others. It's just, it's a show that WWE has to put on. They're putting it on, and you know, we have 8 more years of this, so I think people better just kind of strap in for the long haul of Saudi Arabia. All right, well, moving on to something a little bit more relevant and impactful, I think, is Edge. While he didn't appear on Monday night, Orton did come out. And at the top of the show, he comes out. We think we're going to get an explanation from him. And it's just a whole lot of crowd heat, which I believe was true heel heat. It wasn't the cool, you know, heel heat that a lot of, quote, heels get. It was true. We really don't like what you did, Randy. What the hell? I mean, give us an explanation. Why, Randy? Why, right? And we didn't get it. It was a lot of Randy trying to put his microphone to his lips, and every time he does, he gets the booing and the true heel heat, which you don't see often. And all Randy finally gets out after about 10 or 15 minutes of this is, I can't do this, and he walks out. What did you think about this?
Nuclear heat, man. Like, I haven't seen anything like that. I can't even tell you when the last time I saw that was. And, you know, Orton, less is more, right? Less is more sometimes. And he nailed it. He didn't have to do anything or say anything to get that kind of booing at him. And he just worked with it. I don't know if that was the plan when he went out there, but maybe he was just like, oh, crap, man, these guys are like really, really pooping on me right now. So I'm just going to let him roll with it. And it was the smartest thing that he did. You know, Edge wasn't on TV. They had given health updates. You know, Beth Phoenix has like chimed in because, you know, she's commentary right now for NXT. And it's playing out like I think it needs to play out because he wasn't there. So it kind of leaves everybody questioning why, and it gives it intrigue, and you want to know why Randy Orton did this. And it might at the end of the day just be that Randy Orton is Randy Orton, and this is who he always has been, and like all these different phases of Orton and stuff, but everybody's always loved him as this like sneaky MF-er, you know, and it's just him being him. And maybe it was a jealousy thing. Maybe it took his shine. I don't really think that's it, because Orton always has a shine on him. I mean, he's Randy Orton. He's the legend killer. He is, you know, wrestling royalty. It was awesome. I really haven't seen heat like that. I mean, Guerrero, Vicky Guerrero is like the last time I can remember like true, like people just were like, get off my TV. But this was different. She worked at that, you know, that was her persona. She was annoying and nobody wanted to hear her speak. This was just, man, we hate you. Like, we just got one of our heroes back who came back against all odds and you took him out. And that, the segment that happened the week before with everything that Randy did with the chair, it was the most uncomfortable thing that I've watched on WWE programming in a long, long time. And it's super hot right now. And I don't think it's taking away from anybody. I think it's right where it needs to be. And I think that what Orton did on Monday was awesome. I think it was perfect.
I initially, when I saw this, I was really annoyed because WWE over the last few weeks has had a habit of saying they're going to give something to you and then pulling the rug out. A la Charlotte announcing who she's going to face at WrestleMania, and we get nothing from that twice, 2 weeks in a row. And then we get this happening with Edge or Randy Orton coming out and, you know, WWE promoting in advance that we're going to get at the top of the show an explanation from Randy. And we didn't. It was a whole lot of Randy coming out and you're like, okay, can you just get to the effing point? And I was getting annoyed and I'm thinking like, come, like, this is dragging on way too much. I understand it's heel heat, but I'm getting annoyed. And after the segment was over, I was still annoyed. I was pissed because he ultimately said nothing. He gave us nothing. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I'm annoyed at this segment. Isn't that the goal, right? Isn't that the goal for me to be pissed off at Randy or pissed off at the segment? And I was, and I'm like, wow, so this is what heel heat feels like and what it should feel like. Annoyed. You're truly angry. And it's just something that I haven't felt in a while. So it was very interesting for me to experience that, because we're so conditioned to the heels of today of being kind of cool. They're annoying, but you know, they'll get, you know, the baby face is going to get their revenge pretty quickly. It's not something that truly angers you to your core more often than not. And so for this to happen to me, initially I was annoyed and put off by the segment, and then I was like, damn, that was good because it pissed me off.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's, I also think that, like, you're seeing him struggle with it. So, you know, like I just said, maybe it was just Randy being Randy, but, like, I think that there's more going on to why he attacked Edge than we know yet, and I don't think he's ready to reveal it because maybe he's struggling with why he did it, and he didn't really want to do it because he did look upset. Even when he was attacking him, he looked upset. He held back a little bit. But, yeah, that's in the end, he did exactly what that was supposed to do, and that was make everybody really, really angry because we want an answer. We want to know why you would do something to somebody who has been through so much and like just had like the probably the biggest moment of his career. Like that was a huge moment for Edge, you know. And it's just again, I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't see it live when it first happened because I was working. I had to go back and watch it, but I didn't realize it went on for that long, too. You're right. It was like 10 minutes of like booing, like just booing the crap out of him. And I haven't seen that in forever. So it was just had an authentic feel to it. I think Randy will give us an answer when he's ready and when he can, you know, put into words why he did it. Or we're just going to see Edge, you know, sneak up, attack him backstage, and it's going to be a brawl. Like it's going to be a vicious, vicious knockdown feud between the two of them leading up to WrestleMania, because clearly they're having a match at Mania. I don't think anybody thinks otherwise. So they got like 2 months to flesh this out, and you know they're two legends, so it's going to be a good storyline. I'm here for it.
No question. This is I am locked in. They have me hook, line, and sinker. I will admit that, and that's awesome. Like there is a lot of history that they can pull from these two. You go back, obviously, with their rated RKO tag team that was successful back when they were running roughshod in the tag team division 10 years ago. So there's a lot that they can pull. I'm excited to hear Edge's response to this. I believe that Todd Phillips mentioned on Raw that we are going to get a health update this week, this coming week, about Randy Orton's status. So I would assume that, you know, maybe he'll be at home with a neck brace on, giving, you know, his response. I don't expect to see him in person on Raw, and that's okay. I don't need to see Edge in a ring all the time. It will, I think, pour a little bit of cold water on his return. And I'm looking forward to what he has to say. Edge is one of the most believable promos in the business. I forgot how good he is on the mic. And I'm really looking forward to how this whole thing plays out. I hope that they have a sit-down interview together. Sit-down interviews can be extremely effective if they're able to control their, you know, their emotions and not just blow up into a brawl, which I don't need in a sit-down interview. I'm this whole thing has so much potential, and they've started out on such a hot note. And you mentioned about Randy Orton and him being kind of conflicted about what he was going to do. And, you know, he seemed, even in his explanation, as you said, very confused or just couldn't put it into words yet. And you saw that in his attack the week before, and having him put his neck in the chair and about to, you know, jump on his neck or jump on the chair, which would have broken his neck. But even after he hit the RKO, I got to give props to Edge. I mentioned this before, but it's such a telling thing. Edge is so great with his eyes. And when he got RKO'd by Randy, I remember looking in, you know, the camera shot was great because it wasn't a look of pain from Edge. It was a look of like, oh my God, did Randy just break my neck? And you felt legitimate concern for a guy that had real neck surgery about a move that is focused on your neck. Even though these are two professionals in the ring, you can't help but think, what if they just miss and something actually went wrong? I mean, and that's great. I love it. But just that look in Edge's eyes when he was laying there, like very concerned about what just happened to him after his neck surgery. It was brilliant. I love this whole thing.
Yeah, and going back to like Edge for a second, I don't think that Edge has ever been like distraught. Like he's strong on the mic, but like it's different. His promos are like they don't feel like they're coming from a scripted place. Every time Edge talks, it just feels real. Like it just feels like he's like having a conversation with you. you know, and Orton's also like that too. Like Orton, when he's like scripted or they're like, you have to be super dastardly, it comes off fake. But when the two of them act like they're just like kind of being genuine and like just talking, and Edge is very good at that. And like I said, you just said him with his eyes and his facial expressions and all that, it feels more believable. And this storyline is believable, even though it's wrestling. We know that none of that stuff would have happened if Edge wasn't like completely cleared and they had planned it out, and you know, Orton wouldn't have been doing that. So you knew that, like, okay, this has to be okay. But again, in the moment, you were like, oh my God, what's going on right now? Please don't do that. It was almost like when Daniel Bryan came back and he started doing all the moves that he was supposed to stop doing after, you know, the first time before he had to retire. And he's like doing these flips and stuff. You're like, Bryan, what are you doing? Like, you're cringing. You're like, stop. Like, I don't want to see you get hurt. So it's the same thing with Edge. This is a believable thing. Orton's definitely conflicted about it. And again, they both just kind of bring a genuineness to when they're speaking on the mic. And even with Randy saying nothing on Monday, except I can't do this, it was believable. It came off completely believable. And this is probably going to be one of the top storylines going into Mania. It might outshine a lot of other things that they have planned, because, you know, sometimes they just start slapping things together right before Mania.
Well, they have a rule that everyone has to get a jersey on WrestleMania Day, which is a bunch of garbage to me, that they love to make WrestleMania like, everyone gets a participation trophy, you get a participation trophy, you get one, and everyone just gets to be on the show, which makes it 8 hours long so that they can tell, you know, their Wall Street investors that, hey, look at how much and how long people are watching the network, and they string out WrestleMania. It's just a bunch of crap. I really, the fact that they have that long of a show is honestly, it's a slap in the face to fans, but that's another conversation. Look, I mean, I don't know what else to say about this, and we're only 2 weeks into this program, and we are already completely invested, and Randy has gone from, even when he was a heel on SmackDown, for the last few years, he's been kind of floating back and forth, and even when he's a heel and he'd hit an RKO, people go, yay, we love the RKO. So he hasn't been a true heel. I mean, you could argue in 5 years more. I mean, maybe since he did his program with Triple H and he RKO'd Stephanie and then ended up, I believe he even like kissed Stephanie with Triple H handcuffed to the rope. I mean, he's done some sick stuff. And this is just an example of how good Randy can be. And you forget how good he is because he doesn't have to try to be good. So when he tries, it's even more obvious of how good he is. And I'm looking forward to this damn thing. Any final comments on the Randy and Edge program?
No, I think we basically covered it. We're, like you said, we're only 2 weeks in, so we don't even know what's going on right now. It's why, Randy, why? That's the big question right now. And you know, we're going to have to wait and see what happens on Raw Monday.
Yeah, we are. And I don't know if we'll get much of an explanation out of him. And I'm okay with him continuing to piss me off. And maybe he'll do what Chris Jericho did when he returned at, maybe it was 2010, and he kept coming out and not saying anything for like 5 weeks. I remember that happening, where he would just come out, not say anything, and then put the mic down. And like, literally, that's all he would do. And it started to piss some fans off. And I don't know, maybe he'll take a page out of that book.
I mean, I hope he doesn't do it for too long, though. This is like a different angle. When Jericho was doing that, it was fun. Like, he was having fun with it, and he was laughing and stuff. And you knew it was like him just being crazy Jericho. But Randy can do this like maybe one or two more times, but then like he's gotta start being the apex predator. He's gotta like explain himself, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I'm excited to see an inspired Randy Orton for the first time in about a decade with him. So I'm very interested to see this, and obviously Edge, who's brilliant as well. All right, well, the other thing that I wanted to touch on with you is Ricochet winning this triple threat match to get the honor of facing Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, and we get Ricochet winning this thing on Raw this week. And again, while this is a new matchup, it's exciting, and I didn't see Brock coming out at the end as something that I would have said, yeah, definitely Brock's here, because they didn't advertise him. When's the last time Brock Lesnar was on a show that WWE didn't advertise the hell out of? And this was a great move. While I don't believe Ricochet is going to win, I mean, that's not even the question, right? It's just a foregone conclusion that Ricochet doesn't win this. It was more about the feeling of the ending of Raw being unpredictable, and adding that feeling of unpredictability that's been missing from Raw as a whole, while Raw has been vastly improved over the last few months consistently, WWE as a product has not felt unpredictable in quite a while. And while this was a small thing of Brock coming out at the end, it's indicative of, I think, an improvement in their unpredictable feeling. He came out with like a minute left on the show, unadvertised, to F5 Ricochet. And I loved it. I loved it. I love Brock Lesnar as champion. I know many people are like, oh, he's never there. Oh, my God. How can you like a guy that's never there? And he admits that he doesn't, you know, respect guys. I respect that he's open about that. I love Brock Lesnar. I love everything about him. As a heel, I think he's great as a heel. He could be a mega babyface. He could be anything he wants to be. And so anyway, my point is Ricochet wins. He's going to be facing Brock Lesnar at this beloved Super Showdown. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
It came out of nowhere. I didn't think Ricochet was going to win that match. I love Ricochet. I think he's great. Do I think it's kind of a throwaway match? Yeah, because it's on the Saudi show. I mean, he's obviously not going to win. Brock is way too much of the dominant faction, you know, factor in the WWE right now. And if anybody's going to beat him, it's going to be Drew. So it's good. It's, you know, and the argument about Brock I was having this discussion last night when I was out. It's just the mindset of, oh, he's not around. You know, it's like he is main event. He draws viewers. He gets eyes on the screen. No matter, like you just said, he could do anything. He could be dancing with the Money in the Bank freaking case and doing the mariachi with a mariachi band. Like, he can do whatever he wants because he's Brock Lesnar, and that's how he should be built. I don't care that he's not there. He's a throwback to the champions that only fought in the Garden. They weren't, you know, defending their titles every week because, as Heyman says, he is a spectacle. He is a main event. He is specialty. He shouldn't have to do that. He has proven time and again, and even that first half of the Rumble, he kicked everybody's ass. So Brock don't need to do crap for anybody. And anybody who's not on that, like, again, tell me somebody who could go in that position that Brock's in and carry the same weight as importance as who's going to dethrone Brock Lesnar. He's been the most dominant champion for the last 5 years in the Federation. And it's been strategically, there we go, done for a reason. And, you know, the argument is go back to when he first came back. Everybody was bitching that Cena and Triple H beat him. I was. Never should have happened. Brock should be, like, completely undefeated until he is ready to go away. And this may be, you know, turning it now. I don't know how long his new contract is or if he renews. I think he renews almost every year after WrestleMania now. So we don't know what's going to happen. But Ricochet winning is going to be an interesting match. Usually Brock does good matches with everybody unless he doesn't really like the other person. I don't know how he feels about Ricochet. I saw some reports, though, that he wants to do more stuff with R-Truth, which I think is hilarious. Because when does Brock, like, come out and say stuff like that? And it's R-Truth. But it's a good match. I just wish it wasn't on this card. Does that make sense?
Yes. I feel like it. And we hate this. Well, I don't. You don't hate to say it as far as, like, Saudi shows being throwaway, but they kind of are. Because, again, they just feel like they're just there, and you have to acknowledge that they exist. But they don't do a whole lot. And, yeah, for him to be facing Brock Lesnar, I think the goal here is obviously not for Ricochet to win. That is clearly not where they're headed. I don't think anyone believes that. In no way, shape, or form would this be a great way to just swerve people and get a buzz going. No. That's not what you do during a pay-per-view like this. You don't do it also on the road to WrestleMania with the biggest star you have in the company to just detour for a short piece of time to just generate buzz and people going, wait, what happened? Ricochet's champion? He beat Brock? No. That is the pros and cons of this are just completely off balance. I mean, it would be a complete, I think, disaster to have that happen, especially to Ricochet. I think the most damage, believe it or not, would be to Ricochet if he won this, because people would be resentful. I mean, you know, even no matter how he won it, I think the people would be resentful that he's been here in the main roster for what? Like, you know, 6 months, 12 months, not long, under a year for sure. And I just no way, shape, or form believe he's ready to be champion. It's all about getting him exposure. It's about making him look at least somewhat formidable against Brock with a couple of hope spots. He'll probably, with his speed, end up getting a couple shots in, maybe making people believe for a second, wait, could he beat him here? And ultimately, he's going to get German suplexed out of his mind, and we're going to end up with an F5 and a pin. And as it should be, as it should be. I'm sure you might see Drew McIntyre show his face here, maybe at the end of the match, getting a Claymore kick in on Brock for paying him back for the F5. That, I'm sure, will happen after Brock wins. He'll turn into a Claymore, and that's fine. I would love that as well. This is all about Drew. It's all about Brock, and I just see no other way about this match.
Yeah.
I think I lost you, Mary. I don't know if you're on mute.
Sorry, my mute button just keeps making decisions without me. No, that's exactly how it's going to go. Everything is about Drew McIntyre right now, the way that they're building him, the way that they're having him squash people. And again, it's a believable opponent for Brock Lesnar, and it's believable that Brock can take him out. I mean, he took him out in the Rumble. He was the one who eliminated him, and Brock was like scared, you know? So the only other time he was like scared was when Keith Lee was in the ring, and he was like, oh, who's this big boy? I think that's what he said, or this big MF-er, whoever, MF-er, whatever he said. So yeah, it's a throwaway match. It is to get Ricochet exposure. I do believe that in the future we're going to see him as a champion. They have, ever since he's come up to the main roster, he's been a focal point. I mean, he's amazing. So he's got a look. He's awesome. People love him. There was a reason why there was so much hype when he got signed to NXT. And they're just going to keep moving the train along. But it's just unfortunate for me, you know, personally, that like this is going to happen on this, you know, pay-per-view. I would rather see it like on a Monday Night Raw as a main event, you know, because you know that Ricochet is not going to beat him. But, you know, he's got balls for challenging him and stepping up to him, which he has been doing. I mean, he has been kind of in Brock's view for a while. Well, not in Brock's view. Brock has been in his view. So it makes sense. You know, he's trying to stake a claim. He's trying to make a name for himself. But at the end, we're going, you know, it's going to be Drew Brock, and we still don't even know how that's going to turn out.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
So you guys remember Minecraft, right? Well, there's a website that you can go check out, and it's a friendly Minecraft community. It's at superfuntime.org. That's superfuntime.org. You can also go to the Minecraft server IP at play.superfuntime.org. So on this website, guys, it's not just a community. You can also check out their link on Discord. It's right on the main page. And you can also converse with all other users and players through a forum that is directly on the site. So, guys, I really recommend, if you're a big fan of Minecraft, head on over to superfuntime.org.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
We don't, we got a lot of time to build to it, and also, when we talk about Ricochet, as we look back at why this match is happening, not just that he won the triple threat, but when he came out a week before the Rumble and stood up to Brock Lesnar, and Brock just kicked him in the nuts, and then, you know, obviously we know what happened at the Rumble. You could say Brock did eliminate, Drew eliminated Brock, and he did, but that was with a huge assist from Ricochet, who returned the favor at the Rumble and kicked Brock between the legs, which led to the Claymore. I mean, people, I think, kind of forget that. And without that kick to the groin, would Brock have gotten eliminated? Who knows? So, you can make that case as well, that these two have been on a somewhat of a collision course over the last few weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. As long as this doesn't end in a Kofi Kingston 9-second-like match, I think I'll be fine with whatever they decide to do. This is not the time to do a shockingly quick ending, especially with a guy that you are going to be looking at towards the future of your company over the next few years. This has to be something, at least a little bit of offense from Ricochet. It has to be some hope spots. It's got to be a little bit of, you know, well, Brock, you know, can Brock catch up to him? That's going to be the question. Ricochet's got to use his speed, and he will. That's going to be the story they're going to tell here. And I think that ultimately is as long as we come out of this and go, Ricochet was better for it, even in a loss, I think that's the goal. It's to make sure that Ricochet is elevated in the loss.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. I hope it's not a Kofi Kingston, you know, 8-second thing either. But you also got to remember, too, like, Brock is deceivingly fast. So he can keep up when he wants to. I mean, I can't remember what match it was. Was it Cena? He ran, like, he sprinted, like, through the crowd or whatever. And he jumped up in the ring and, like, took somebody out. And it was, like, insane fast. You were like, holy crap, was that Brock Lesnar? He, like, went, like, really, really fast. So I think he'll be able to keep up with him. Brock's really good when there's chemistry, and he usually, there's not a lot of misses with him. It won't be the you know, the shortest match. I don't think it'll be the longest match either, but yeah, there's a lot of things going to play right now, and they have been kind of on a collision course, and maybe they'll face each other in the future once, you know, Ricochet is more established and stuff like that. But I mean, I might peep it, you know, just the match separately and not watch the pay-per-view, or I might just read the results because we already know he's not going to win, but it'll be a good, interesting thing.
And Brock is quick. And there's no question about it. He does have speed, crazy speed. But I think that the WWE, if I were booking this match, if I were the agent of this match, magnify Brock Lesnar's speed, because you want to tell the story that there's something that Ricochet has that Brock doesn't have right now, and you're trying to build on that for something that he could potentially used to upset Brock here. I mean, so I would assume that they would use the speed of Ricochet to tell the story that he's a little bit quicker than Brock in this instance, even if he's not in real life. I mean, Brock is as quick as a cat, as Jim Ross would say, and I think that you're going to see Ricochet get something in, I hope. And so this kind of begs the question, as I was thinking about it, you were talking, if you were to say, which match is going to last longer, would it be Brock Lesnar and Ricochet, or would it be The Fiend and Goldberg? I don't even know the answer.
I would like to say Brock Ricochet. I hope that Goldberg match doesn't go on. The difference is that, like, Brock actually has moves, you know? Like, he's not a one-trick pony, like you said earlier. So I would hope that The Fiend just disposes him really, really, really quick. But who knows? It could be another Kofi Kingston, like you said, or Brock Lesnar just hitting an F5 or a suplex and just taking him out real quick, and 1, 2, 3, it's over. But we will see. We should take bets on that.
It's I'll take fake money bets, because I wouldn't bet money on that particular scenario, because there's different things that could lead to each match lasting a little longer. But I honestly, I mean, if I were going to put my money on it, and I'm not, but if I was, I would say the longer match would probably be Brock and Ricochet, just because there's a little bit more of a story they could tell there. But again, you want also The Fiend. He'll win decisively, but do you want him to squash Goldberg? No, you don't. He can't squash Goldberg. Because I believe that Goldberg is going to be coming back for a WrestleMania match. You don't get this close to WrestleMania and not have a WrestleMania match when you're, quote, a legend like Goldberg. So, I don't know. Just an interesting thought I had there. So
it's a
It's
a good Twitter poll question.
Yeah. There you go. That's what I'm looking to do with it. Okay, I'll put that up on Twitter after this. I would think most people would probably think Brock and Ricochet, but when you look at the history of Brock's matches, I mean, most of them are under 5 minutes. So, All right. Well, the other thing, too, that I want to discuss before I ask you a question that I'm really interested to hear your reaction on. But Rhea Ripley came to Raw this week after Charlotte Flair mentioned she would face a champion. And we all knew that it was going to be Rhea Ripley. I think it's the worst kept secret in WWE right now that it was probably going to be Rhea Ripley. And I think that's the best choice. And she comes out, and I felt like she belonged. she held her own. I think she has a good presence about her. She didn't feel like she was, you know, the little girl on the big kids playground. She felt like she was, somebody that belonged there, and that's always important. Kevin Owens had that same feeling when he came up right before he faced John Cena at Elimination Chamber, what, like 5 years ago, whatever it was. Kevin Owens had the same feeling, and I had the same feeling for Rhea Ripley. That's a good thing. And she Charlotte went to NXT this past week. So we didn't get an official, this is happening at WrestleMania, but it's going to be happening at WrestleMania. I mean, let's be honest. What do you think about Rhea Ripley and Charlotte all but being official at this point?
Well, I'm happy you guys were right, because that makes the win at Rumble much better, because I did not want to see Becky Charlotte for the 18 billionth time. I think it's going to be a great match. I mean, Rhea Ripley is, whew, man, she's got like a rocket on her right now. I mean, she proved herself during the invasion during the fall. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, I can't see Charlotte winning the NXT championship and then carrying it around on the main roster. That just seems kind of convoluted. So maybe Rhea Ripley gets the win. And I think she should, because as great as Charlotte is, again, as I was saying during the Rumble show, she'll always be fine, guys. She's not going to get buried. She's not going to be like out of the picture. She's Charlotte Flair. She is a legacy. She's super good. She got super good, super quick for being, you know, just kind of thrown into this a couple years ago when she started training. It wasn't like she did an indie route. She's amazing. So Rhea Ripley is too. She's bigger than her though too. I mean, that girl has got a presence. She's got to lose those contacts though. I hate when they put these stupid colored contacts in their eyes. Anyway, that was just a side thought that I was thinking the whole time she was out there. But I would think that Rhea was going to go over, but I don't know. Charlotte did not hold the NXT championship when she was at NXT, correct?
Did she? Now you're making me think.
I don't think she did.
Oh, wow. Hold on. I'm going to Google that. That's what we do, right? Did Charlotte win? It's almost hard to believe that she didn't, right?
Like, no, it is. But she was so – she came up so quick, and it was so fast for her to go on in the main roster. She wasn't in NXT that long, you know? When she was in that, like, that three-way or with the four horsewomen, it felt like everybody else won the titles except her. But I could be completely wrong, and I'm checking it right now.
Okay. I got the answer. So
yes, go ahead.
No, she hasn't. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I overlooked it. She was the second person to win it. She won it on May 29, 2014 at TakeOver, the first TakeOver. And she defeated Natalya in the finals of an eight-women tournament to win the championship from Paige. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, there is a reason. If she hadn't won it, then there was every reason for her to win it, because it's very clear that, you know, WWE wants her to be the greatest women's champion of all time. But she's already won it, so she might not beat Rhea Ripley, and that might be, a few going forward where she's kind of chasing her, because other than that, what does Flair have going on? Like, that's why it was so, you know, weird and, like, jarring when she won the Rumble, because it was just like, oh, we're doing this again? Like, okay. But now it's not so bad, because this is new and this is fresh, and this is, you know, her opponent is same size stature as her and as big as her, possibly bigger. And, like, Charlotte usually, like, you know, towers over all her opponents because she's such a, you know, a presence, and she's, you know, very tall. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, though. So we got to see. Wait and see. It's one of those wait and sees.
Yeah, it is. And I would second that with Charlotte's presence in the ring on Rhea Ripley. It's not as intimidating as her standing over Bayley or even Becky Lynch, for that matter. And I'm looking forward to this because, yeah, it's new. Rhea Ripley is what she said on Raw is true. Charlotte's never beaten her. So there's that. Charlotte hasn't held this belt since 2014. So you got 6 years of her not holding this championship. And if she wins the belt, which I don't think she will, I would assume that she would stick to NXT for a while until she drops it and comes back up to the main roster. And I shouldn't even say main roster, because I'm trying to mentally change my thought process of well, my perception of what NXT is, for the longest time, I was looking at it as the feeding ground. It was kind of the redheaded stepchild of the WWE, where, yeah, it was there. It's kind of this cool little side gig that WWE has, but it's not going to really go anywhere. That was my thought process for years when they were building it. And as it garnered more attention, and the quality of the pay-per-views got my attention, what they did in their program was go back to basics and focus on wrestling and not the silly nonsense. So when I say the main roster or, you know, whatever, it means... I shouldn't say that. It's just the brand NXT is a true legitimate third brand. So again, back to the match though. I think Rhea Ripley is going to retain the championship, stay in NXT. They'll have a hell of a match. And as you said, Charlotte doesn't need to win this. And she's Teflon, as you said too. She can have like a 20 match losing streak. That's probably exaggerating, but the fact is, Charlotte is just, she's kind of like Roman Reigns. If Roman loses, it's like, well, it doesn't really do a whole lot. They're Teflon. They can take big losses and just move on, and they'll rebound with the next promo that they cut. I mean, it's just, they're in that position. They're in that type of perception of fans. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the match quality. I know we're predicting matches out to WrestleMania that haven't even truly been announced, and we're 2 months out. But it's kind of, it makes more sense to me anyway to have Rhea retain at WrestleMania than it does to have Charlotte win and then kind of just float around NXT for a while.
Yep, I totally agree. Rhea is the rising star, and she's going to be, you know, a dominant force when she ends up on the main roster. And I mean, I don't even know if she's going to get called up at this point, because like you were saying, NXT is now kind of equally a third brand, and you know, Triple H has had a lot of pushback with like some certain people getting put on the main roster, considering what has happened to some NXT stars that have come to the main roster. So, but she's going to be a force, and it makes more sense to kind of like cement her down now as, you know, this huge star that's coming up. Charlotte doesn't need the win. Like Charlotte, like you said, Charlotte's Teflon, and I've been saying that for months, and that's why I was, like, annoyed about the Rumble win at first, because she didn't need it, you know? Shayna Baszler needed it. I mean, she didn't need it, but it made more sense. So we will see. But, yeah, it hasn't been made official yet, but, I mean, I guess we pretty much can say it's in the bag.
What do you think about Becky and Asuka, who are going to have their part three? And when I say part three, I'm going back to last year's Royal Rumble match they had, this year's Royal Rumble match, and now Asuka challenged Becky once again for the Raw Women's Championship, so we're going to get part three. Any chance that Asuka wins here, or is this just another seemingly foregone conclusion for the outcome?
I mean, I was pulling for Asuka at the Rumble. I think Asuka should win this title back. She had a, you know, just for everything that happened to her last year with her run and her original undefeated streak, and then kind of, you know, losing focus on her when she should have had focus on her. Part three, I mean, they're even now. So one's beating one, you know, and I guess this is going to decide who's the best out of the two of them. And Asuka's so hot right now. But everything that Becky's doing right now, it feels like it's starting to lean towards a heel turn, or, you know, people getting annoyed with her thinking that she's the GOAT, you know, because that's a term that you don't throw around for, you know, current superstars. That's somebody who's already been established for a long time. Trish Stratus is the GOAT, you know, not Becky Lynch. She could be one day, but I don't know what's going to happen. I really want Asuka to pull this out and be double champ. And I think it would be great. And I love everything she's doing. It's so chaotic and confusing, and she's awesome. And I have no complaints about her character whatsoever, because she is just, she's owning it. You know, she's doing the best with what she's got. And if people don't get it, then you don't get wrestling. You know, it's like kind of one of those old school feelings to her. But I really want to see Asuka get the title back. And I want to see Becky's reign come to an end. And I don't think there's anybody else who could beat her. I mean, if Charlotte wasn't the one going to do it, and Rousey's not back, I mean, we still don't know if Rousey's coming back for Mania, or if she's going to be gone, or if she's never coming back. Who else is going to defeat Becky? I mean, Shayna would have been a great, you know, decision, but we don't know what's going on with her, too. And Sasha Banks is still MIA. So I really, really hope that Asuka wins. That's just me personally. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it feels like it's a more likely now it could happen than it has in the past, don't you think?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the fact is, the farther away we get from her WrestleMania win last year in the main event and her title victory, the better the odds are every single day that she's going to lose it. And I think most fans are starting to at least get the sense that, okay, we you know, Becky's been great. We had our run. She was, you know, she was our choice. We essentially turned her back face when you guys said, let's turn her heel. And she had the biggest run of her career and really revolutionized the women's movement. I mean, she skyrocketed what the women's movement represented by main eventing WrestleMania, obviously with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte in tow. But that was really the Becky Lynch show last year, and rightfully so. But I think that, to your point, the fact is that Becky Lynch's reign is coming to an end. But as much as I see your point about Asuka, and I think that she deserves it, and she certainly got the huge shaft last year with what happened, and she, I think, needs to have another run as women's champion. And she is doing some of the best work for her career with Kairi Sane, who is kind of just almost forgotten, unfortunately. And maybe we can talk about Kairi, but Asuka certainly feels more comfortable. I'm not as annoyed by her yelling in Japanese and her animated promos that used to really get under my skin and kind of cringeworthy. I'm finding them more, sometimes really funny and entertaining rather than being annoyed by it. But the quality of matches she has with Becky are always great. But having her win the match and having her capture the women's championship, being dual champion, suddenly shifting all the focus to Asuka when it was all about Becky from last WrestleMania all the way up until almost now another WrestleMania, to cut it short and give it to Asuka. Well, what do you do with Becky at that point? I mean, the general feeling is that it's going to be Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. And I would agree that that is probably going to be what's going to happen, and the right move, because these two one-on-one have not faced each other in the main roster. Shayna Baszler, I believe, could end up being the babyface role at WrestleMania if this plays out that most people think is going to happen, which is contrary to your belief, and time will tell. But if it's going to be Shayna and it's going to be Becky at WrestleMania, and the fans have kind of already started to feel that, well, you know, this wave is over, we've had our fun, and we love Shayna Baszler now, which I think could be the case, you could have an organic true heel turn happen at WrestleMania with Becky and Shayna and do kind of a double turn. I think that could be the case, because I think people are starting to wear a little bit thin, as you said, with the whole goat thing on the jacket. I alluded to that. No babyface in the world says that about themselves. You don't make a jacket about it. I found it obnoxious. I found it arrogant. I didn't find it appealing. I didn't find it a good trait to have as a babyface. It was just kind of like, oh my God, enough, right? So I don't know, a lot there, but that's my general feeling.
There's a lot of ways I could go. I see her. I mean, if Becky's going to turn heel, I really think it's because she's going to drop the title and she's going to snap. I don't see any other way other than her ego getting the best of her, you know, because she's been talking so much crap for the last year. And then she finally beat Asuka, and then she loses to Asuka. I think it would be pre-Mania. I don't know if Baszler is going to happen. I mean, hell, this could keep going. Again, it's still way too early to know what's going on. We haven't seen Baszler since the Rumble. Usually, you know, if they're getting called up, they kind of show up after that. I don't know what's going to happen, but Kairi Sane and Asuka are a force, because you have Kairi Sane running interference and helping Asuka. And as long as that duo is together, Asuka has way better chances of winning, because she is the heel in this. I don't see Shayna Baszler turning face. Is she going to have the crowd behind her? Yeah, but I mean, you look at that girl and it never screams face. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but if Becky's going to go heel and it's going on this whole goat thing that she's doing, then I think she's going to lose and she's going to, you know, snap. And it's going to be her ego getting the best of her and becoming this persona of, you know, whatever, like saying that, like, she got screwed and, like, trying, you know, doing some kind of heel thing. So I don't know what's going to happen, though. Again, it's something that it's still really early, and, you know, things get thrown together last minute, and we don't know what's going on with, like, certain wrestlers coming back and stuff like that. But we got to watch and see how it plays out.
And that's interesting, your theory about the way Becky turns heel, because that's exactly how she turned babyface when it was supposed to be a heel turn. So to have that happen would be very poetic, and I think it'd be clever on WWE's part to have this truly be a heel turn and not a failed heel turn that turned into the biggest babyface run of all time for Becky Lynch. So I'm fine with that. It would make total sense that she drops the belt, gets frustrated, and just loses her mind and attacks whoever ends up beating her. Could it be Asuka? Certainly it could be. But it were just, if we weren't, you know, if this was like the middle of summer, I would say you're onto something. The fact that we're so close to Mania, for WWE, who loves to say first time evers and talk about records and how long someone held a belt once they approach, you know, a certain milestone, for them to not be able to say that Becky Lynch won this championship at last WrestleMania and here she is defending it at this year's WrestleMania, never before done. They love their first time evers. I think that they're too close to not have it happen. And while Asuka is, I'm on board with you, the fact is that the timing is just not right. She's also the one half of the women's tag team champions, which is also a forgotten championship, which is unfortunate. We're 2 months away. We only have Saudi Arabia, which doesn't count, and then you have Elimination Chamber, which is just the setup for WrestleMania. If she comes away in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks with still holding the belt, getting past the Saudi Arabia show, getting past Elimination Chamber, I think you are indeed looking at a deal where they can say, "Oh, Becky Lynch, you know, has held this thing for a year. She won it last year's WrestleMania main event." To me, I just think that they aren't going to be able to help themselves, and they want to be able to say that.
That sounds like classic WWE. I'm not arguing with you there. I mean, it's always like, oh, WWE logic between, or they trying to surprise us. And it does feel like lately they've been doing a lot of things that we wouldn't thought they would do. So I'm kind of being optimistic about this heading in the media. Maybe I'm being stupid. Again, I don't know exactly who Becky's going to be facing. I do think Becky's going to be holding the title at Mania. But, again, stranger things have happened. And it's just kind of like, you know, we thought there was a blow-off with Corbin and Reigns, and it wasn't. And we thought that Asuka and Becky was done because, you know, Becky did what she said she was going to do. And she beat Asuka. But now we're having, you know, the third match, which is usually the blow-off match. And somebody's going to win. I mean, if it solidifies Becky going to Mania, it does. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Asuka wins that title. And then it could continue. Becky could get a rematch at Mania. Like I said, Reigns and Corbin wasn't ended at 3. We're going on 4. It wouldn't be weird if Asuka won. And I clearly want to see it. And it would be bigger if Asuka wins at Mania. So who knows what's going to happen.
Certainly. Yeah, no, I'm not discounting this. This one is not a foregone conclusion like the other matches that we've been talking about. I'm open to the idea. I don't think it's likely, but there's certainly a solid chance of that happening. I wouldn't put my money on that. I think the smart money is on Becky retaining, but there's a case to be made for Asuka winning. So while you touch quickly on Corbin and Reigns, I know we're running out of time here, but what do you think? What are your thoughts on Reigns and Corbin just continuing after this? The WWE had their WWE.com picture of, you know, Roman Reigns and the Usos and Baron Corbin tied to the ring and covered in dog food. Well, that wasn't the stipulation of the match. It was supposed to be the loser eats dog food. But, you know, hey, what do I know? They just decided to bathe him in it. They have this continuing this week. Roman Reigns comes out. Does what he always does, gives the absolutely unavoidable Superman punch that is honestly like, and I'm not trying to go on a rant tangent here, but I mean, the Superman punch is a maneuver that is the most obvious maneuver coming. I mean, I could have my grandmother on the ramp standing there and going, this guy's about to punch me. He's jumping up. He has his fist cocked. Can I just like step to the side? I mean, it is the most obvious the maneuver that is coming your way and for stars to continually just stand there and take it. I mean, I get it. It's wrestling, and maybe I'm digging too deep into it, but the fact is that the Superman punch is the most, first of all, I despise the name of the move. It's very cartoonish and very childish, but I guess that's his audience. I mean, that's just fact. But the deal is, like, I love Roman Reigns as a wrestler. I think he's very good in the ring, but I've never been a fan of the Superman punch because it takes me away from the moment every single time he does it, because it's like, how do you not see this coming? Especially with all the hang time he has in the air. Anyway, the Corbin and Reigns deal, I mean, again, this is an example of leftovers from the Rumble. They just have to get through this, finish this program up, get to what we all believe is going to happen. Outside of you, Mary, I know you're a little bit skeptical on this being a foregone conclusion of the Reigns versus the Fiend program at Mania, but I mean, I'm fine with this continuing for one last time, and they build this as one last time. They have good matches together. I think it's just time for this thing to be over with after Super Showdown.
This thing feels like it's been going on for years. Like, how long has Corbin and Reigns been, like, feuding, man? I mean, it's got to be since the summer, right?
I think they had off and on, but solidly for at least 2 months.
I mean, I it's got to be longer than that, Matt. I feel like this has been, like, a part of my life.
It's like a deal. Yeah, I know, like, what you mean.
Year. I don't know why they didn't do a blow-off match. I don't know if this is just Vince having, you know, I'm trying to be PG here, but having a boner for this feud, man. And I don't know if it's the Reigns element or if it's the Corbin element, because he seems to like both of them very, very much. So it doesn't bother me. I actually like their feud. I mean, Corbin is just, you know, cringeworthy heel, and that's what you want. But I don't know if this is ever going to end. I feel like this thing is going to be going on forever, and I don't know what the outcome of it. And if Dolph, like, I tweeted on Friday, because everybody knows I'm a closet Dolph Ziggler fan. I don't know what he came out in on Friday. He had, like, a fedora on with his hair straightened, and he, like, I feel so bad for him because he's super hot and he's got the worst hair in wrestling. Like, he's got natural curly hair, and when he straightens it, it looks just terrible. Like, it just doesn't look good. So he walks out in this, like, fedora and, like, some 80s metal outfit that he always wears, and I was just like, that's it. I can't support you anymore, Ziggler. I was like, I can't approve or make an excuse for whatever you're wearing right now, because you're already in, like, this thing that you kind of don't fit into, but you're just making it worse by dressing the way you do. So I'm sorry, Dolph. I love you, but man, you gotta get a stylist or something, or I don't know. Anyway, that was a merry rant. I don't know. I really don't know how much longer it's going. It feels like this should be it. I mean, they're doing a cage match, so nobody can get in the cage, but you know people will get in the cage, or you know that the Usos and Dolph and who's the other dude who's involved in this?
Robert Roode.
Sorry, man. I mean, like, it just seems convoluted at this point that it's still going, but it's still going. I don't mind it. I'm not hating it. I was the only one who liked the Rumble match, so I just don't know where they're going with it. This is why I don't think that, like, Reigns facing the Fiend at Mania, because, like, don't you think their storyline should have started already? Like, and they're still continuing with Corbin. I don't know what's going on. It's just, I don't hate this storyline, but I have no idea. Like, it just feels like this is, like, eternal torment with this storyline, and they're never going to move on from this, because it feels like it's been going on since the summer, and I'm pretty sure this has been going on since the summer.
I'm doing research, because now you're making me double, and it does. And when I said 2 months, that just seems as if, like, consistently every week, because they've been kind of off and on since summertime. And Survivor Series, they were on the same team, and that whole thing, they imploded when Reigns took out Corbin in that match. And then at – what's the match? What was this, the pay-per-view before Survivor Series? Is it TLC? No, not TLC. TLC is December. Hell in a Cell in October. So let me look here, because you're probably right.
It's since he won King of the Ring.
Yeah, hold on. I think you are correct. Let's see. Chad Gable. Oh, no. So at Hell in a Cell, Chad Gable defeated King Corbin in a singles match. because they had that whole, like, even after I lost, I still want my, So, yeah, but now that you got me thinking, it does feel like it's been forever. So, anyway, yeah, so the fact of the matter is this whole thing ends in, how many days till 18 days until February 27th. So, This thing will finally come to a screeching halt at Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia on February 27th, Thursday, of which I would love to know the live numbers of people actually watching that in the United States. It's just such an odd day, odd time for a pay-per-view. But yeah, Roman Reigns here, I would think, goes over, and this is not anything revolutionary. I think he has to, for even if you don't believe WWE's preparing him for The Fiend, they're certainly preparing him for something big at WrestleMania, and to have him lose to King Corbin here would make, like, no sense at all. So it seems a lot of foregone conclusion matches at this pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I just found it's been since November, or since Crown Jewel, almost. I think they were on the teams. Maybe Reigns was on the other team. I don't know if Reigns had a single match again. I don't watch those pay-per-views, but yeah, it seems like since November. This has been going on for months. A lot of the time, as wrestling fans, we're like, they don't, like, keep storylines going or slow burn, so I'm not gonna hate on it, because it just feels like forever. It really does, I don't know what the exclamation point is. I don't know what the payoff is in this. Like, what? Like, you have one of your top heels? Because, I'm sorry, Corbin is one of the top heels in the company right now. Lose again to Roman Reigns?
Yeah,
like, just keep embarrassing him? I mean, I know that happens when you face Reigns. He's, he's the Cena of this generation, down to the Superman punch and, the five-knuckle shuffle. Like, it's coming. Or I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But, I mean, I would think that Reigns is going to go over in this, and it's going to be over. But, again, this thing could go until spring. I don't know.
God, please don't say that. please, no. But the thing is, like you said, this is not a bad program. It's just like, okay, it's over. It's time to move on. And Corbin, I don't think, gets enough credit for how good he's been, and what the progress that he's made as a heel is awesome. I love what they've done. But we've talked about guys that are Teflon. Corbin is not Teflon. Corbin needs wins. Corbin needs to stop losing clean to the babyfaces. He needs to start in big spots, not just on SmackDown here and there, but in big spots on a big platform, get a legitimate win, and maybe not cheat to win. Heels don't always have to cheat to win. I know that that's a tried and true formula, and more often than not, you should have the heel do something dastardly to win. But Corbin needs to legitimize himself and get past the silly dog food fetish that suddenly has overtaken SmackDown, and throw together some real solid, legitimate wins by himself that will not turn the crowd in favor of him. That will get the crowd against him even more, because then he'll feel like a legitimate threat for your top baby faces. I'm ready for Baron Corbin to just go on a tear. Even if he loses to Roman Reigns, which I think he will at Super Showdown, and go down another peg, but he needs to bounce back real quick after that and just start going on a monster run of beating people fairly and just bragging about it. And he's done a great job. So, I know we're running against the clock here, so one last thing I wanted to ask you, and this is not something that is official, but it's certainly floating around. I alluded to it at the beginning of the show. Would you have any interest in seeing Undertaker versus Sting if it were to happen this year?
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I'm asked this question every 4 months, since it was a rumor when it should have happened,
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't want to see Sting. Has been gone since he was injured, so I haven't seen him. There were rumors he was going to end up at one of these Crown Jewel Saudi Arabia blood money thingies. Maybe Sting is like, no, and that's why it hasn't happened. I mean, I really I was really hoping this was going to be the first year that the Undertaker was not at Mania, wrestling, because we've gone over this a bunch of times. Am I going to get pissed off at it if it happens? No. But do I think it's way past its time? Absolutely. So I don't know if it's going to be good or not. Like you're literally watching, geriatric people wrestle something that they should have wrestled in their prime. And they had every opportunity to do it, and McMahon was being McMahon about it. I don't know if it's going to happen. Every year, it's Sting. Is this the year? I don't think it is because it hasn't happened the last 5 years. So I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with Undertaker. I still think that there is somewhat of a possibility that, like I said, my dark horse is Undertaker Fiend. You know, maybe for the title, and Undertaker loses and Bray gets his win back that he should have had, you know, when the Undertaker shouldn't have been facing him the first time at WrestleMania. And he passes the torch, you know, because he is now the supernatural element in the WWE. The only other person who could do that is Aleister Black. That would make more sense. I don't know if I want to see Sting Undertaker. The time has passed, and I think it could cause more damage and being disappointing because everybody had it hyped up so much in their mind than being something like, oh, well, it happened. They did it. They finally did it. Hooray. Like, sometimes you shouldn't put matches on just to put matches on, and that's how I feel about it. And I also think that Undertaker shouldn't be wrestling anymore. So there's a lot of moving parts. Do I think it's going to happen? No, because just because based on the fact it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it could be something that we saw recently with John Cena calling out The Undertaker. We all wanted to see a Taker versus John Cena match, and we wanted to see it. We wanted to see it, and WWE gave us the lamest version of it at WrestleMania, and it was I did not enjoy. I mean, you could say, oh, they did it. They actually had, you know, they had their match. Not really, right? And in this case, it's one of those. Do you really want to see it? You know, like when you drive by a car crash, are you really going to want to see what the car crash could look like? And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I'm very fearful that this match, if indeed this ever happens, and again, I feel like I'm talking about this every 6 months or so, especially around WrestleMania time. It's just a WrestleMania tradition to talk about this, or having Stone Cold come out of retirement. It's just like the same things that come up every year. Would I watch it? Of course I'd watch it, because it's something that has been talked about for so long, and it's the freaking Undertaker. And while he is way past his prime, and I think that we all believe he should have probably retired 5 years ago, it's Undertaker, it's Sting. How can you not watch it as a wrestling fan? As much of a train wreck as it may be, if it's done properly and these guys have their weaknesses hidden, which of their at this point in their career, face it, Father Time has given them many weaknesses. This is not something that I think people should go into if this happens of, oh my God, this could be amazing. Maybe they somehow could pull off a 5-star match. It's just not going to happen. This is a match that is nothing more than a nostalgic treat or a nostalgic wishful, you know, fantasy match that people talked about for literally the last 20 years. And the fact that it's coming back circulating again, and that Sting's been cleared to return for one more match, and that Undertaker has also been cleared, I don't know. It's one of those things, if you were going to ask me if it should happen, I would say no. Leave it to people in their minds. Leave it to fantasy. Leave it to video games. I don't need to see something that ultimately could disappoint. I mean, my God, look what happened with Goldberg and The Undertaker at the last Saudi Arabia show. That's example A. You have two guys in there that are way past their prime. I mean, admittedly, Goldberg is no, you know, wrestling technician and is to blame for what happened in that match. But at the same time, you know, Undertaker's not a spring chicken anymore. He's got a lot of limitations. I don't know if I want to see this. Am I going to watch it? Of course. But do I want to see it? If I was in charge, would I make it happen? No, I wouldn't. I actually would not make this happen. And the last point on this is about, you know, The Fiend versus The Undertaker. I think that is much more likely to happen than Sting Undertaker. And when you remember what Bray Wyatt did in his Firefly Funhouse last year when Stone Cold was on Raw and people were thinking, oh, The Fiend's going to attack Austin. And it didn't happen. And you saw in that Firefly Funhouse, he fixed his clock from 3/16 to November something. It was 11/12 or whatever day Undertaker actually debuted in WWE in 1990. I think it is much more likely we see The Fiend versus The Undertaker in 2020 than we see of Sting and Undertaker. I think that ultimately The Fiend is going to attack Undertaker maybe at Survivor Series this year. Or that could be Undertaker's last match or something of that along those lines. But those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I that makes more sense to me than just rolling out Sting and Undertaker to have a couple of fanboys shut up about it. You know, like you said, leave it to – it's way too late for it. If they would have done it when he first, you know, finally debuted in WWE, then okay, man. But, like, how many years removed are we from that? And Triple H had to get his shot, you know? So just let it go, man. If you're going to have The Undertaker still at WrestleMania, even though he should have been on his horse in the sunset already, like, do it right. Have him pass the torch to Wyatt. Or, like I said, even Aleister Black would be something reasonable and believable, because he has that occult kind of background going on and stuff. But other than that, I really don't want to. I'll watch it, like you said, but I don't want to see Sting Undertaker. It's like 15 years too late. Why would I want to watch it? It's just going to be disappointing in every aspect. And if one of them gets hurt, it's going to suck even more.
And one of them probably will. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter is it'd be kind of like, hey, you guys want to see Austin Hogan in 2020? No, I don't. I don't want to see Austin versus Hogan in 2020. I want to see it when it should have happened back in 2002 or whenever the NWO invaded WWE. That's when it should have happened. Not in 2020, 18 years later. It's kind of that. As cool as that sounds on paper, you got to remember we are 20 years from when it should have happened. So anyway, nonetheless, Mary, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I know you're tired. I'm hungover. We both need our damn sleep. But thanks for coming on. And, before you head out though, let everybody know where they can follow your tweets and all the fun stuff that you put on social media.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @Mare_Bare, B-A-R-E, and on Instagram at Poppins311. And as usual, pleasure talking wrestling with you, Matt, and I hope that you have a speedy recovery from your fun night out.
Yes, it's self-induced. There's nobody out there that feels bad for me. When someone's hungover, it's nobody's fault but their own. So nobody is out there going, is he okay? I mean, right, nobody cares. But that's fine. Father Time will help me, and I'll be good to go by hopefully tomorrow morning, and I hope you get some sleep too, and we will be chatting very soon, I'm sure.
Yes, hopefully very, very soon, and hopefully we'll have more answers for everything that we just talked about after tomorrow night.
And we'll be past Super Showdown, so that'll be good for you, and we'll be able to talk about Elimination Chamber the next time we talk.
Yeah, I can't wait for Elimination Chamber. I have no idea what's going to happen going in that pay-per-view. Like, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just thinking about Mania, but, you know, this good pay-per-view, I'm going to see what happens.
Absolutely. So, all right, Mary, you have a good night, and we'll be in touch very shortly.
Yep, you too. All check right. You later.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.